Hello and welcome to a special edition of The Breakdown, the RTE Rugby Podcast. I'm Michael Corcoran. It's a special edition because we wanted to pay our own tribute to a special man. Anthony Foley, Munster coach and former player who sadly passed away last weekend. Even at this juncture, it's difficult to take the news in or even believe it. Anthony played for Munster 202 times. He was the heartbeat of the squad on and off the pitch for many, many seasons. He made his professional debut for Munster against Swansea in November 1995, a game that was also Munster's first ever Heineken Cup fixture. It was fitting, therefore, that in his first season as the Munster captain, he led the side to victory in the Heineken Cup final against Biarritz in Cardiff on Saturday, May the 20th, 2006.
It is Dmitry Yashvili, the man charged with the responsibility of kicking the ball from right to left in the very first half of this match. Chris White, the 41-year-old former junior school teacher from Cheltenham, becomes the first fella to referee three Heineken Cup finals. It's his second in a row, and it's Biarritz playing in the white. Munster are in the red, and Yashvili gets the ball on the way, kicks it up in the air. Munster try and come together. That one, they've knocked it on midway between the 22 and the 10-metre line. Sean Payne came in when he didn't really need to. Serge Bitson moves it back now towards the outer half. Julien Perrelong kicks the ball inside the 22-metre line, far side of the pitch, taken there by Sean Payne. Ian Darling was in the way, and Sean Payne has had to step into touch, far side of the pitch, across on that far side. The referee is playing an advantage. But two Munster players not communicating on good occasions, on two separate occasions there, and it's a line-up for Biarritz inside the Munster 22-metre line, Kieran.
Yeah, I think Sean Payne came in just in front of Dennis Leamy, who's coming forward for the ball, and just they knocked it on, and it's a good tactical position for Biarritz at the very start of this match. Indications there of the surface of the pitch. Sean Payne tried to turn, but I think it's very greasy. Despite the roof being closed, that pitch is very greasy from the rain yesterday, and that may be a factor.
Benoit Auguste goes towards the back of the line-out. Munster won the ball. It's with David Wallace at the very back of the line-out. Here comes Peter Stringer now. Looks to take safe delivery of that one. Goes back towards O'Gara. O'Gara standing in his own line. Smashes the ball into touch across on the far side of the pitch, and Ibanil Harinardiki came after him, but O'Gara has batted that ball into touch a little bit short of the 10-metre line across on that far side, and it's going to be a line-out. The line-out, the second of the afternoon, is to Biarritz, and here comes Benoit Auguste with the line-out, and Biarritz just trying to slow it down ever so slightly, because it's, I would imagine, impossible for the hookers from either side to hear exactly what the line-out call is going to be. They overthrew that one towards the very back of the line-out last time out. Benoit Auguste now, former Stade Francais players, throws it towards the centre. Harinardiki wins it. Yashvili moves it out towards Gobillet, pops it across there now. Demian Traoré came at pace over the 10-metre line. Try to bring play towards the Munster 22. Yashvili moves it out now on this near side of the pitch towards Nicola Bruce. Nicola Bruce comes in now. He's tackled onto the ground. It's Philippe Bidabe, in fact, on this near side. Yashvili has it now for Biarritz outside the Munster 22. Back towards Perrelong. Perrelong gives the ball towards Johnson. That's Senses Johnson. Brings play towards the Munster 22. Biarritz attacking Munster. Yashvili pops it out now towards Bidabe. Breaks through the cover. On this near side of the pitch towards Bobo. Sirelli Bobo gets in. Sirelli Bobo touches it down. And Biarritz have got a try. Munster have been carved open. 2 minutes gone. Sirelli Bobo, the Fijian international, has silenced the Munster support. Biarritz are into the lead, 5 points to nil.
Yeah, very simple line break. Munster looked to have defended. They had the numbers out there. Very simple handoff on John Kelly. I think he was the man that breached where the breach was made. And once that happened, I think Bobo had an easy job to finish off on the thing. Simple breakdown situation. Yes, Philly took it on the blind side, but there's sufficient numbers there to cover. And once John Kelly was up, and Bida Bay was the man that came up, he put the hand in, and a simple break. And that's a heartbreak for Munster so early in the match.
Well, they're showing a replay of the match on the television screen, and there is some concern whether that was a try or otherwise. It's been awarded by the referee. Sirelli Bobo got the ball. He had certainly a foot on the touchline, and he has touched it down on this near side of the pitch. He had a foot in touch.
He had half a foot, because from his heel but forward was in touch on the line, and on the line is out.
Well, here comes Yashvili with the conversion attempt outside the 22 on this near side of the pitch. Hits this one towards the post. It's dropped over, and Biarritz into a 7-point lead. 3 minutes gone in the first half of this match at Cardiff Millennium Stadium.
Yeah, whatever about the legitimacy of the try by Bobo, looking at it again from a reverse angle, definitely when he put his foot down on the touchline, he just looked to have it on the white and the chalk on the touchline. And the crowd can see it as well. But nevertheless, you have to give credit to Yashvili for a very difficult conversion on his left foot to give them the 7 points clear.
Well, 7 points to nil from the restart. They rise to try and gather that one. Paul O'Connell has lost control of it. midway between the 22 and the 10-metre line, far side. 17 metres in for the touchline, and it's Munster now who are chasing this game after only 3 minutes, 45 seconds of the match here. Forget about whether that was a try or otherwise, it's been awarded, and Yashvili with the conversion, it's Spirits leading by 7 points to nil. Flannery throws the ball into the line-out, ball back with Donegal Callan towards O'Gara, moves it now towards John Kelly, pops it up towards Trevor Halstead, runs forward, that one grounded short of the 10-metre line. Might be available here, the referee is playing advantage for Munster. Referee's whistle has gone, and the referee has now called over one of the Biarritz players. It's that Emmanuel Harinardaki has been called to one side by the match referee Chris White. And it is Harinardaki, in fact, has been penalised by the match referee. It's going to be a penalty. The penalty is for Munster on the 10-metre line, 15 metres in from the touchline on this near side of the pitch. Harinardaki has been penalised for a late tackle there on Peter Stringer after the ball had long gone. And well, the first one is a warning, and let's see what action happens directly after that. Here comes Ronan O'Gara, penalty for Munster, shy of the 10-metre line, 15 metres in for the touch. O'Gara with the kick, pumps that one into touch, far side of the pitch, and it's going to be a line-out now for Munster, outside that Biarritz 22-metre line, far side.
Yeah, I've no doubt Biarritz tactically will have targeted the strength of Munster team is in the half-backs, and Peter String and Ronan O'Gara having played so many times together, and they're going to try and disrupt that flow, try and disrupt the possession, because they know that Munster are very strong line-out, but if they can disrupt and get at Peter String and upset him, also O'Gara will be the centre of a lot of attention, and you can watch that from later on as well.
Jerry Flannery throws that one towards the centre of the line, and it's taken there by Dennis Leamy. Munster down low, attacking Biarritz now. Biarritz pulled it down, the referee playing an advantage. Outside the Biarritz 22-metre line, but Munster regroup now. They've shunted Biarritz back towards the 22-metre line. Marcus Horan gathers that ball now. Swings around and pivots towards the 22. Far side, Munster make it inside the 22. Referee still playing advantage. Stringer moves it towards O'Gara. O'Gara now with the crossfield kick on this near side of the pitch. Into the hand of Cirilli Bobo. Bobo has taken it. Referee's whistle has gone. Peter Bay has raced over the 10-metre line and halfway line on this near side. The referee has penalised Biarritz and has penalised Tomo Livermore, the team captain, and it's going to be a penalty. The penalty will be to Munster outside that Biarritz 22-metre line. Ron McGarra pretty hasty with the crossfield kick, but at least he knew the penalty was coming.
Yes, Michael, I think it might have appeared a speculative crossfield kick, but I think he knew he had the penalty. He had the penalty in the bag. I mean, why not take a chance at that case? You know, if he came off well and good, there was a chance of a five-pointer, but if not, he is an equally a good opportunity here for a three-pointer. It's on his side he would prefer, just outside the 22, maybe 25-metre out, and this is a test of pressure a little bit from him, but he has been through this before. He's been in situations like this before.
Well, Jim Williams, the assistant coach, is the fellow brought up the kicking tee, and I'm sure he's had word of encouragement for Ronan O'Gara now as he comes up to take the penalty for Munster outside the 22-metre line, far side. 13 metres in from the touchline. It's about 3 or 4 metres outside the Biarritz 22. Here comes O'Gara now. Hits this one towards the post with the right boot. You can judge by the reaction of the crowd. Munster have got their first score of the afternoon. 7.5 minutes gone. Biarritz leading 7 points to 3.
Yeah, the deficit cut back to 4 points again. No real advantage from playing either side. No wind with the conditions, no rain. So, I mean, 4 points is nothing in a match of this. And if there is any team to come back from having a difficulty, having adversity at the start, it's Munster.
Chance here now for Yashvili, who attacks Munster off the base of the lineup. Munster under a bit of pressure here now as Betchen comes forward with that ball, moves it out towards Peter Bay runs at Munster, and there have caused Munster a lot of difficulty now. 4 metres short of the line, try to get the ball back now. Munster look to take it. Munster now travel in and look to take control of that ball. Biarritz look to take it on this near side of the pitch as Jerome Thion. Referee's whistle has gone, and it's going to be a scrum. Peter Stringer has control of the ball. It's going to be a scrum inside the 22. Munster repelling the Biarritz attack on that occasion. It was scrappy ball, I have to say, but it was the Dogs of Oran Munster wearing the red jerseys who've come away with them.
Yeah, frantic defence by Munster there, but nevertheless, I mean, sure aggression just won them the scrum on that occasion. I thought Chris White was going to give a penalty there for Biarritz because he was shouting and screaming at Munster, let it go.
Peter Stringer feeds it in. He's gone out towards the feet of Foley to take that one. Looks to take the kick himself because the Munster scrum was under a lot of pressure there on that occasion, and I think rather wisely Stringer decided not to take it. It's taken pretty quickly now. Now Munster have it on the restart now. Offloading the ball towards Anthony Foley over the 10-metre line towards the halfway line. Peter Stringer has it, moves it towards the Garrett. Chance here now for David Wallace. Brings play towards the halfway line. Here comes John Kelly. Got his the ball now. He's got Trevor Halstead inside him. Brings play over the 10-metre line. Far side as Wallace comes in now at play. Gets around 6 of them. Brings play towards the 22. Far side of the pitch, 17 metres in for the touchline. Stringer has the ball towards O'Gara, moves it out. I thought it was a forward pass. The referee's whistle has gone. on, and it was a forward pass. And O'Gara, well, having words with the referee, but that was certainly a forward pass, I have to say, by Ronan O'Gara. The chance was gone, but certainly Munster knew how to unlock that Beerwitz defence.
Yeah, and I think they're looking for that momentum through the forwards of carrying the ball, and this did Munster do very, very well. And the short popping pass is working well, and at the end of it there we saw David Wallace and how dangerous he can be when he's facing the defence. Just those little bit of lack of precision on Ronan's part there is for the clear forward pass, but nevertheless that'll bring Munster and their patterns back into
it. Gerry Flannery with the line out, goes towards the centre of the line out as well, taken by Donico Callaghan there under pressure from David Cousinet. Munster down low now, try to drive Beerwitz back, and Beerwitz kind of holding off. Munster now get that momentum going forward. They certainly got over the gain line a couple of metres across on the far side of the pitch. I see Gerry Flannery with the ball, Marcus Horan there as well. Serge Betson tries to pull it down. Munster trample all over Serge Betson, and the referee's whistle is gone. It's going to be a penalty. The penalty now is to Munster, and Dennis Leamy kind of shoves Betson out of the way, and Dimitri Ashvili is inside there as well, while Paul O'Connell there, and Paul O'Connell tells fellas, listen, get out of the way for the love of St. Patrick. But Serge Betson lay down on the wrong side of it there. The referee is now having a conversation with Tom Olivero, the team captain, and Serge Betson. And Serge Betson has been penalised there, and the referee has said absolutely no more. It's got to be a penalty. The penalty is to Munster, midway between the 22 and the 10-metre line.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have been commenting on Serge Betson, particularly against Bath and Sale, and the kind of the cynical way he can play the game. And he's a very experienced player, and he's very effective. And not many referees have picked it up, but I think Chris White has shown that he has. But one of the key battles today, one of those most anticipated, is the battle of the forwards. And I think Munster there, in the second time they've won a penalty, have taken it down and taken it to the Beerwitz strength in the forward. So they've got to take them on front up, and that would be tremendous for Munster if they can win that.
Now Ronan O'Gara with the penalty has clattered the ball into touch. It'll be a line-out for Munster. They gave up the 3-point penalty shot, and they've kicked the ball into touch, far side of the pitch. It's going to be a line-out. Line-out for Munster now. 6 metres short of the Beerwitz line, far side. All sorts of possibilities, but Munster have to win the ball first. Gerry Flannery is there. Foley's at the front. He's gone towards the back. It's taken by David Wallace. Under pressure there from Serge Betson, and Petru Balan might be available here now for Peter Stringer. It certainly is. Munster now regroup to try and gather that ball. It's available here now for Donico Callaghan. Petru Balan came in on the wrong side. The referee allows play to continue on. Munster now have it with Ron O'Gara. Gives the ball towards Trevor Halstead in the central midfield position. Munster now smash Beerwitz back, taken here by Johnny Flannery now. Johnny Flannery, I thought it was tackled Halley around the neck there. Available here now. Peter Stringer looks to take control of that ball, sweeps it out wide towards Dennis Leamy, sidestep two of them, gets around Serge Betson, stops 7 metres short of the line. Stringer has the ball, sweeps it out pretty quickly. An awful looking pass, but it's still available here. Munster come forward with that ball. David Wallace has it now. David Cousinet in the way. Beerwitz fellas all over the place now. It's with Johnny Flannery. Johnny Flannery attacks the spaces. Munster come forward with the ball now. Well inside the 22 metre line, far side. Peter Stringer awaits delivery of that ball. It's back rather awkwardly. Stringer pops it back towards Foley. Foley comes forward with that one. There's a Munster play taken out of it. Stringer's getting the daylight beaten out of him on the ground. Chance here now for Ian Downey across the far side towards Johnny Flannery. Johnny Flannery is there as well. Petru Balan is on the wrong side. A chance here now again available for Munster as they regroup here now and come forward with that one. They inch their way towards the line. They're 7 metres short of the line. Stringer moves it towards O'Gara, pops it across now. Ball is taken out on this near side by Dennis Leamy. Sean Payne comes in at pace. It's available here for Anthony Horgan. Munster now look to recycle that ball. O'Gara went forward with that one. He's under pressure here now, sets it up now on this near side of the pitch, 7 metres short. Referee's whistle is gone. Beerwitz have been penalised for playing the ball back along the ground. It's a penalty. The penalty is to Munster, and again there's a bit of afters, and again Serge Betson is to the core of the whole thing. He's already been spoken to by the match referee.
Yeah, but again it's another opportunity for Munster to take 3 points, and you would like to think that given cup final situations like what you have here, that you'd opt for the 3 points rather than kick it to the touch. Beerwitz, if anything, have a very formidable defence, but now we see Ronan O'Gara again looking to kick it into the corner, and maybe just backing themselves, but I just don't know. I take 3 points in a cup final in matches like that, we're not going to get opportunity to score tries.
Well, one of the Beerwitz players suffering from a bit of a hand injury. Well, is it his hand? He's saying that somebody stamped in his hand. Well, yeah, it's a man's game, isn't it? Nobody saw what happened, I have to say, but it's a penalty for Munster, and Ronan O'Gara has again declined the option of a kick at goal, and that's going to pay off if Munster get a try. But if it doesn't, they don't get the try, it doesn't pay off. He's kicked the ball into touch. There's certainly no sign of panic there, and a line out for Munster now on this near side of the pitch, 6 metres short of the line. That's the side populated by Dave Pearson. Gerry Flannery throws it in, it's taken by Paul O'Connell. Under pressure he was there. Ball is taken there and collected by Marcus Horan, back by Peter Stringer. Peter Stringer now gives it in, it's taken by Anthony Horgan, breaks through the cover now. Horgan has stopped 4 metres short of the line, straight in front of the post. Stringer's under pressure from Sir Raleigh Bobo. available here now for Munster. I thought it was Harry Nordicke, came in the wrong side. Available again for Munster now, straight in front of the post. John Hayes there, leaves it for Peter Stringer, sweeps it out towards O'Gara. O'Gara kicks forward after that ball. It's taken there by one of the Biarritz players. It's Demian Trahey, he got the ball, and Demian Trahey touches it down. Well, he called for the mark, in fact, behind the post, and it's going to be a 22-metre dropout by the match referee there. Demian Trahey and Peter are running O'Gara, in fact, now. Pretty hot and bothered as O'Gara is dragged onto the ground. Anthony Foley comes up to drag away the Munster outside half there. Here comes Demian Trahey with the restart, kicks it down the length of the field. It's taken by Sean Payne outside his own 22-metre line. Races now towards his own 10-metre line, kicks it up in the air, goes chasing after that ball. Damien Trahey is under it. He runs into Sean Payne, and Sean Payne smashes him to the ground outside the 22. Munster arrive at sixes and sevens, but it's back on the Biarritz side, just outside their own 22-metre line. On this near side of the pitch, Yashvili moves it out now. Taken by Perrolong. Perrolong standing inside the 22. Not going to find touches. Taken by O'Gara in his own 10-metre line. Got Anthony Horgan there, changes his mind. Kicks the ball up in the air. Goes chasing now. The ball bounces. Taken now. Anthony Horgan pops it back inside. Taken by Jerry Fennery. Moves it towards Paul O'Connell. Races inside the 22. Goes that mountain of a man O'Connell towards the team. Captain Foley. Biarritz at sixes and sevens. I'm trying to stop saying the phrase, I have to say. Inside their own 22-metre line. Peter Stringer is there as well. Biarritz slow control of that ball. O'Gara moves it out towards Trevor Halstead. Halstead pops it towards Dennis Leamy. Breaks through the cover. Stopped 8 metres short of the line. Straight in front of the post. Now Munster again. Look to recycle the ball as Marcus Horton comes forward with it now. Stopped 4 metres short. Ball with Peter Stringer and company. Hayes is inside there now. Munster 2 metres short of the line. Back towards O'Gara. Pops it out. He goes for the line. Across on the far side of the pitch. Trevor Halstead is in for a try. He's broken to the cover. Biarritz have been peeled open. 16 and a half minutes gone. The roof has almost lifted off Cardiff's Millennium Stadium. Trevor Halstead has got a try for Munster. They're into the lead, and let's hope they'll never look back.
Yeah, full marks to Munster. If any team can respond, they can respond. Lovely counter-attack led by Ronan O'Gara. Lovely little chip up. Gathered it back inside, back to O'Connell, back to Foley. The forwards take over, and then when the forwards get a sniff of the line, within 15 metres of the line, they had the overlap, and they got that essential ingredient, which was the quick ruck ball, because Betson and Harry Nordicke are trying to slow down the Munster ball in the same way as they're trying to stop the Leinster line-out from operating. Anytime Leinster or Munster line-out from operating, anytime Munster there, they're trying to bring it down, slow it down. Munster are trying to stop Munster getting a ball. That was a lovely, lovely play by Halstead in the end. He took Bede Bay out there. Trahey was trying to take him down. He turned lovely over the line, and good touchdown, good reward for Munster.
Well, Jean-Baptiste Gobelet is 6'5" and almost 17 stone. He's playing on the wing. And Damien Trahey operating in the centre. Both of them were staring down the gun of Trevor Halstead. And Trevor Halstead had a look at Gobelet, decided to go for the big fella. And the former South African international smashed his way through the cover. He's touched it down. And here comes Ronan O'Gara now. It's 17 and a half minutes gone at the Millennium Stadium with the conversion attempt outside the 22-metre line. 5 metres in from the touchline. He's 2 or 3 paces outside the 22. O'Gara has already landed a penalty for Munster. That came 7 minutes into this game. And O'Gara now, with the conversion attempt, hits this one towards the post. Hits it sweetly. 18 minutes gone. O'Gara makes it 2 out of 2. Munster leading 10 points to 7.
Again, he has done it again for Munster. That was a tremendous kick from right on the touchline. I mean, the guy is so ice cool, and you have to be ice cool, and so precise and so clinical in your execution, despite all the mayhem and bedlam that's happening all around you. And he was there, and he got the extra 2 points for Munster.
While Peter Stringer had a problem with the back of his hip, but Christy Peacock, the Munster team physio from Newcastle, has sorted out Peter Stringer. He's fed the ball into the feet of Foley. Well, it was into the feet of Jerry Flannery initially. Back at the feet of Anthony Foley right now. And the referee's whistle has gone. And the referee has now having a conversation with the two front rows to make sure that they're pretty much straight up. Senses Johnson, the heaviest fella on the pitch, almost 21 stone, up against Marcus Horan. It's the technique of Horan against the bullocking ability of Senses Johnson. Munster have been penalised. The referee's whistle has gone. And he has penalised Marcus Horan. He's given away the penalty. And it's going to be a penalty for Biarritz, well inside the 22-metre line. And already Thomas Livermore has pointed at the post. Anthony Foley's up now, having a conversation with the match referee. And the referee has said Marcus Horan has been under pressure twice. and he's given away the penalty. So the penalty for Biarritz for that scrum infringement.
Yeah, I think Chris White was influenced by the first scrum in which, you know, Biarritz, you know, they got the shunt on Munster and they drove them backwards and the scrum went down, so he'd reset the scrum. And it was obvious in that situation, 5 metres from the Munster line, that Biarritz were going to target the Munster pack and they were going to put in the full eight-man shove on that. And Johnson, August and Ballon, that they're all formidable scrummagers on that occasion. And I think Marcus Horn, maybe he recognised he was in difficulty and referee judged that he actually took it down.
Here comes Dimitri Yashvili now with the penalty attempt inside the 22-metre line. It's about 2 paces inside the 22. It's just about 15 metres and a couple of centimetres in from the touchline. On this near side of the pitch, as Yashvili will come up and kick this one left-footed to try and tie the game up. Yashvili comes up, hits this one, and hits it right between the posts. So the penalty conceded by Munster at scrum time has been a costly one. It's 3 points for Biarritz and Dimitri Yashvili. 23 minutes gone, the sides are tied up 10 points apiece.
Yeah, it was costly, Michael, and I'm sure Munster in their preparation will have recognised that Yashvili is very, very dangerous on penalty kicks. You know, I mean, he probably single-handed defeated Sale and he defeated Bath in the quarter and semi-finals respectively by the kicking of penalties. And if he gets the opportunity today, any discipline today, he will convert opportunities into points.
Well, that Biarritz front row already sent that they might have an advantage over Munster. Dennis Leamy has won the ball in the line out far side, simple ball towards the centre of the line. Munster down low now, trying to punch a hole in that Biarritz defence. Back now with a run. O'Gara moves it now on this near side of the pitch. Ball taken by John Kelly. Here comes Trevor Halstead now. Trevor Halstead pops it out towards Anthony Horgan. Tries to get it on Cirelli Bobo. He doesn't. He's tackled onto the ground. Available here now for David Wallace. Brought play towards the 22. It's Marcus Horton. Marcus Horton brought play towards the 22 metre line. Stringer moves it out now towards O'Gara. O'Gara pops it now towards Paul O'Connell. Paul O'Connell smashes his way through. Harry Nordicke brings play inside the 22. Munster now with Biarritz under pressure now. Straight in front of the post. Back with O'Gara. Here comes Ron O'Gara now, spots a gap, kicks it through with that one. And Nicola Bruce chases back after that ball. He's touched it down. And O'Gara, I thought, was rather hasty in kicking that ball away there. One of those kick and chase things. Nicola Bruce there is blocked down by Peter Stringer. Referee's whistle has gone. Now, the referee has called Peter Stringer back. And, you know, the Biarritz player tried to play the ball pretty quickly. Peter Stringer was standing outside the 22 and well within his right, I thought, to try and block the ball down. The referee's whistle has gone. I thought the referee had his back turned to the situation there and has said to Peter Stringer, don't do that again. And it's going to be a restart. The restart is for Biarritz on their own 22-metre line. Jean-Baptiste Gobelet brought play towards the Munster 10-metre line. Yashvili towards Serge Betson. Betson now pops it towards Thomas Livermore. Runs into Trevor Halstead, the try score for Munster. Back with August on the shoulder charge at Foley. Foley dragged him to the ground midway between the 22 and the 10 metre line on this near side. Yashvili has that ball, moves it towards Perrelon. Cousinet back now towards the far side, in with Damien Trahi, Philip Bidabe, putting Munster under pressure inside their own 10 metre line, across on the far side. Census Johnson comes to try and gather the ball, might be with Yashvili. Yashvili is there, chance now for Gobelet. Gobelet comes in now off the wing, far side, runs it to Paul O'Connell and Dunnock O'Callaghan. Biarritz stay in control of this one. Yashvili has it now, and they're in a very demanding position. Kicks this one out right-footed. Sean Payne allows that ball bounce inside the 22-metre line. Far side taken by Anthony Horgan. Anthony Horgan now tries to come in the counter-attack. He's dragged to the ground by Harry Nordicke, well inside the 22. Munster under pressure, and Sean Payne has had a very, very nervous start to this game. He's a fine player, but a nervous start. Available here for Stringer. Moves it back now. Chance now. And the ball goes into touch. The referee's whistle has gone. And I'll tell you, the referee want to get a hold of it here now, because, well, the referee, one of the Biarritz players was, I thought, well offside as that ball came out. And the referee allowed play to continue on as Serge Betson. Serge Betson was pushed onto the ground by Trevor Halstead across on that far side of the pitch. Domo Livermore is there as well. And, well, I mean, it's bad enough having to try and play against Biarritz, but when you have to consider some rather strange refereeing decisions that have been taken place so far in this game.
In fairness to Betson, on that occasion, he made the break and he looked at the referee, and the referee said ball is out, game is on, so he could go for the ball, and the referee did signal, so I don't think it was Chris White gave him permission to go, which clearly looked like an offside position.
Yashvili pops it back towards Gobelet. Gobelet runs in now to John Kelly and Trevor Halstead, who drag him out to the ground. Yashvili looks to take it back now with Ron O'Gara, moves it out on this near side of the pitch. OG is right. O'Gara had the chance there, and O'Gara with an appalling pass. Ball with Sean Payne, kicks it along the ground. It's back on Nicola Bruce on the 10-metre line. Nicola Bruce now runs forward. That one kicks it up in the air. Peter Stringer takes control of it now. Chance for Munster now. Pops it towards O'Gara. O'Gara has it now. Breaks through the cover. Brings play over the halfway line on the near side of the pitch. 7 metres in for the touchline. Stringer towards O'Gara. Pops it in towards Paul O'Connell. Paul O'Connell spots what's ahead of him. Gabillet is there. He was taken pretty highly out there. Back now with Peter Stringer. Peter Stringer moves it back now towards O'Gara. Gives the ball back now towards Anthony Horgan. Breaks over the 10-metre line on this near side. The referee, I think, is playing an advantage. I say that because he's one arm outstretched. Back now with Ronan O'Gara. Gives it towards Jerry Flannery. The ball is deliberately knocked out of the hand of Jerry Flannery there by Senses Johnson. The referee's whistle is gone. It's going to be a penalty. The penalty is to Munster, a little bit outside the Beerant's 10-metre line. 15 metres in for the touch. And Damien Mendes is walking over now on this near side with Ronan O'Gara, having a conversation with him. Chris White is there as well. He's allowed to run O'Gara every opportunity to gather his breath back. And O'Gara has decided now to kick the ball into touch on this near side of the pitch. O'Gara just having a conversation with Chris White, wondering how much time is remaining in the first half of this game. Time is back on, and O'Gara's kick got into touch outside the 22, or inside the 22-metre line on this near side. It'll be a line-out liner for Munster, and a good attacking position, Kieran.
That's a good attacking position, Mike. But again, the decision had to be made. Whether you go for your 3 points, I knew it was a long shot. Conditions underfoot are a little bit slippy for a run-up and a good, decent strike. But whether you do that or go for the line-out, but they've thrown the
line-out. Jerry Flannery's thrown the ball into the line-out. It's won there by Paul O'Connell, back towards Donal O'Callaghan quickly. Here comes David Wallace now, broad play inside the 22. Munster come forward with that one now. Driving Beeritz backwards there now. Chance here for Donal O'Callaghan. O'Callaghan comes forward with it now. Running towards Jerome Pion. Munster up now very, very quickly. Anthony Foley, the team captain, towards Paul O'Connell. Munster pick and go, pick and go. They've made it to within 7 metres of the Beeritz line on this near side of the pitch now. Peter Stringer looks to take control of that ball. Referee's whistle is gone. It's got to be a scrum. The scrum will be to Munster. 7 metres short of the Beeritz line.
They're certainly playing it very well on the tight game, Munster. And I think they're getting the better of the exchanges in the tight when they get the clean ball from the line-out. And that's the big situation for Munster. If they can get a clean ball for line-out, then everything is on. And Beeritz are finding it difficult to control Munster or defend Munster. That's why Beeritz are trying to stop them getting clean ball. But they got it on that occasion.
8 minutes and 51 seconds remaining in the first half. As Stringer goes round towards the feet of Foley. Goes on a sniping run. He's cut the ball out. Stringer goes to the line. Stringer gets in for the try. On this near side of the pitch. He caught the nupping. Who did he run around? Serge Betson was standing there. Stringer went to pretend he was going one way. Stringer went the other way. Betson was standing there as if he was standing in a queue trying to buy an ice cream cone and pray on a Sunday afternoon. Stringer has got in for the try. Beeritz have been caught napping.
Full mark to Peter Stringer, because tactically he watched what Sorelli Bobo, the left winger, was in the position defending on the blind side. Stringer stood up, he waited for a minute. Bobo thought there was no threat. Bobo went to go out and defend on the open side, and then Stringer's picked and he went to the clear run, and the only guy he had to beat was Betson. If you watch Bobo, he's moving over to the open side. Stringer sees him over. All he had to beat was Betson, and he had about 6-7 metres. He was all of that on to beat Betson. Well done, Peter Stringer.
Well, I'll tell you, big game experience goes for everything. And you want to see the look in the face of Peter Stringer. He can't believe it. On the replay there. And he's skated along the surface. He's got in for Munster's second try of the game. 8 minutes remaining, first half of this match. It's Ronan O'Gara now. 2 out of 2 so far for O'Gara. With the conversion attempt outside the 22-metre line. 8 metres in from the touchline. Well, it's maybe 10 metres on this near side. O'Gara comes up with the kick. Hits that one straight between the posts. When a score was needed, Munster got it when it was needed most. 7 minutes remaining, first half of this game. Munster leading 17 points to 10.
Yeah, and people often say, what does it mean to have senior experienced players on the team? What does it mean in situations? Well, it means in the big occasion like this that your mind is functioning, your mind is clear, you can read it as you see it, and you can capitalise on that, and that's what Peter Stringer did.
Well, from the restart, Foley has taken the ball. That's the first clean line-out, a restart take Munster have taken outside the 22-metre line-out. Peter Stringer moves it towards O'Gara, standing inside the 22. O'Gara gathers that one, kicks it up in the air. Not sure he's going to find touch. Taken by Dimitri Yashvili in his own 10-metre line, comes up, kicks this one left-footed now. That's a gigantic kick. Betson is offside. O'Gara looks to take control of that ball. He's left it bounce. Taken out by Gobelet. Gobelet runs into Anthony Foley, who drives him back to the ground towards the 10-metre line. Might be available here now, but Beeritz and Harry Nordicke come forward with it. I thought Beeritz lost control of it. It's now with Marcus Horton. Marcus Horton runs into Petru Balan. Brings play towards the 10-metre line on this near side. Peter Stringer has the ball, gives it towards O'Gara, standing now outside his own 22-metre line. Kicks that ball. It skates over the head and over the head of Sorelli Bobo. Far side of the pitch. The ball gets off that greasy surface. It's gone into touch. It's going to be a line-out. The line-out will be for Beeritz, but they've been driven to touch midway between the 22 and the 10-metre line far side. Chris White of Cheltenham who went to see his beloved Cheltenham play in a league playoff last night. He told me before the match it was a draw nil all, so he'll be here as a Cheltenham supporter in the divisional playoff against Grimsby next week. Benoit August has thrown the ball over the back of the line. It is taken by David Wallace. Gets around to Harren Ardachy. Stringer now moves it towards O'Gara, standing outside the 22. Kicks this one up in the air. Nicola Bruce comes in to try and take that one now. Nicola Bruce has it now. Kicks it off the outside of his boot. That's a really good kick by Nicola Bruce, I have to say. The ball bounces inside the 22 metre line. Peter Stringer has it now. Gives it back towards Sean Payne. Sean Payne now with the kick. And I tell you, he took his time as he went to try and kick that ball. Ball is knocked on by Nicola Bruce across on the far side of the pitch. And for good measure, he runs into John Hayes and Nicola Bruce. Well, he's not too happy with himself. I mean, all he had to do was leave the ball go into touch. He didn't. He's knocked it on. And it's going to be a scrum. That's going to be to Munster approaching the halfway line.
Well, Munster were fortunate because there were two bad kicks, Michael. One from Ronan O'Gara and the second one from Sean Payne. And Nicholas Bruce was running right into because he was looking for a counter-attack. So Munster were fortunate he knocked it on.
Donegal O'Callaghan has won the ball in the line. As Jerome Thion put O'Callaghan under pressure. Munster already swarm around it. Tomo Livermo is in the way. Munster now come forward with that one. Harren Ardachy there went in like a kamikaze on the wrong side. Dennis Leamy takes control of that ball now, comes forward with it. The top Irish ball carrier in the Six Nations Championship might be available here. The referee said one of the Beards players lost control of the ball, knocked it on. It's going to be a scrum. The scrum will be to Munster outside the Beards 10 metre line.
Yeah, it's vital pressure for Munster to stay in the Beards half. You know, the countdown to 3 minutes before the end of this half, they'll be quite happy to go in at 17-10, a 7-point lead. They've made their many mistakes, but they've shown that when they get opportunities, they can capitalise on them as well.
Peter Stringer ready to feed the ball into the scrum just outside the 10 metre line on this near side. 18 metres in for the touchline. The ball is out rather quickly. Back rather awkwardly towards O'Gara, gives it towards Trevor Halstead. Trevor Halstead now comes forward with that one. Breaks through two would-be tackles, pops it towards John Kelly. Leaves it across the far side towards Sean Payne. Gives the ball towards David Wallace. Broad play over the 10 metre line, far side. 4 metres in for the touchline across the far side. Peter Stringer has it. Back with O'Gara. O'Gara has that ball, gives it towards Dennis Leamy. Comes forward with that one as the man from Cashel. Broad play over the 10 metre line towards the 22. Peter Stringer has it now, gives it back towards O'Gara, gives it towards Jerry Flannery. This high octane, high tempo game Munster are playing has their Beards in a spot of bother at this moment in time. Back at Peter Stringer. Peter Stringer has it now, gives it back towards O'Gara. O'Gara gathers that ball, kicks it, is going to squirt, and it goes into touch on this near side of the pitch. And he got that one right on the meat. The ball has gone into touch over the head of Sereli Bobo, and it's going to be a line out. The line out will be to Beards, but they've been driven back inside their own 22 metre line.
A good decision and good tactics and good variation by Ronan O'Gara on that occasion, because the Beards defensive line is coming up very, very flat and they're packing the middle of the field. It's very difficult to come through. Trevor Halstead had a lovely break there. He took on Trolley, he took on Bede Bay on the outside, then he offloaded. But even with that withstanding that, they couldn't penetrate. And that's good kicking by O'Gara, and it's good variation, and we should see more of that.
We have 27 seconds of normal time remaining in the first half of this game. That includes injury time and otherwise. Half a minute left as Jerry Flannery throws this one towards the back of the lineout. Well taken by Paul O'Connell, who was stamped on by David Cousinet last time out there. Now Munster keep this one tight now and drive Beards over the halfway line on this near side. 15 metres in for the touchline. Stringer moves it towards O'Gara, pops it out now towards Trevor Halstead. Halstead moves it across towards Sean Payne. Sean Payne now attacks them across on the far side of the pitch. Ian Dowling is there as well. Munster arrive in numbers. John Kelly slides in to take control of that ball. Might be back on the Munster side. It certainly isn't. They regroup well now outside the 22 metre line, far side. Munster now try to take the ball back. It's with Paul O'Connell. Paul O'Connell driven out to the ground. I thought there was, Tomo Livermore in from the side. Referee's whistle has gone. He's penalised Munster for not releasing the ball in the tackle on the ground. And it's going to be a penalty. The penalty is going to be far Beards, but I suspect we're not going to have any time left in the first half of this game. Chris White is there. Referee has given the penalty. The penalty is far Beards, midway between the 22 and the 10-metre line across on the far side of the pitch. And Dimitri Yashvili gives the ball towards Damien Trahi, and Damien Trahi kicks the ball into touch across on that far side. Half-time, Munster leading 17 points to 10. Let's go across the field to Roy Willoughby.
Yes, OK, Jerry Holland. Are you pleased enough with that performance? Very tight.
Yeah, it's a tight game, as expected. There's nothing in it, really, so it's nice to be going in just ahead at half-time.
Yeah, having conceded the early try, Munster came back with a bit of shape.
Yeah, that was disappointing, but, you know, in fairness, they took it well. Maybe the question mark's over whether it was in touch or otherwise, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah, and Stringer was a great blindside try.
Yeah, it was a good try, and came straight from the training ground.
OK, what are you going to say to them at half-time?
I just keep doing what they're doing, really. I think they're doing okay. They've got to keep possession maybe a little bit more, keep the ball in hand, but happy with how it's going.
And it's Munster attacking in the 22-metre line. Damien Trey gathers the ball, though, for Biarritz. Kicks it. Taken though by the Munster fullback Sean Payne over the 10-metre line. He goes towards the half line, kicks it up in the air, goes chasing after this one now. Damien Trey underneath it. There's two Biarritz fellas going for the one ball, and they still manage to take control of it. Jerome Thion is there. I didn't think he released it. Referee's whistle has gone. Biarritz have been penalised for that sling of their feet. It's going to be a penalty for Munster outside the 22-metre line on this near side of the pitch, and that was really good work, I have to say. Sean Payne had a shaky start, but I'd say Suffolk had a hold of him inside in the changing room. Wouldn't surprise me if Caro O'Sullivan went in there and gave him some inspiration at half-time. He's had a really good start to the second half of this game, and it's a penalty for Munster. Here's a chance now for Ron McGarrah from outside the 22-metre line.
Yeah, well, that was a very clinical kick by Sean Payne, and what we've come to expect from him. Maybe the emotion, the passion has worn off him a little bit from the start of the first half, but that was a very clinical kick. He got enough height in it to allow himself to get up after it, and for Donal O'Callaghan to get up. At the same time, Jerome Thion had to take it outside his 22, so he couldn't make a mark, and that's where they hit them hard and won it down, and one of his support players was in, turned over the penalty, and this is an ideal opportunity for Munster to restart the second half. And a score for Munster at the start, first to score in the second half, was absolutely crucial.
3 out of 3 so far for Ronan O'Gara. His fourth kick at goal this afternoon from outside the 22-metre line. It's about 18 metres in from the touchline on this near side of the pitch as O'Gara comes up, hits this one and hits it straight between the posts. 4 out of 4 for a fellow with a dodgy stomach. We've double scores at the Millennium Stadium. Munster leading 20 points to 10.
Well, he did it in the semi-final against Leinster, and he's doing it here again today. Munster doing what Biarritz did in the first half, getting off to a dream start. Although Biarritz did get 7 points, Munster will be more than happy to get 3 points because it stretches the lead to 10 points between the two sides.
Damien Trey with the restart kicks it. It's going to land somewhere outside the 22. Foley is driven to the ground by Gobile across on that far side. Peter Stringer now awaits delivery of this ball, standing inside the 22-metre line, gets it, kicks it up in the air. Ian Dowley chasing after the Biarritz player there, and Tomo Lee from all the team captain gathers it in the Munster 10-metre line, far side, literally straight across from our commentary position. Pirlo moves it out towards Damien Trahi gets around 2 half-hearted tackles, but not the third half-hearted tackle, because the third one was Foley, who smashed him onto the ground midway between the 10-metre line and the halfway line. Referee's whistle is gone. It's going to be a scrum. The scrum will be to Munster midway between the halfway line and the 10-metre line.
And that's that's a key target man for Biarritz that Munster had dealt with. Tralee in the centre, he's the guy who makes the penetration. He turned once lovely inside there on Halstead, but who he met coming forward on O'Connell and Hayes, and bang, they just drove him forward, and Munster have won the turnover. I have to say, in Tralee's favour, he's restarted again, or pinpoint accurate. He put it in. Anthony Foley had no room to move, no room to come into it. It just dropped literally on the touchline, and Munster did well to resurrect that one.
Well, he got around the attempted challenges there of Halstead and Dennis Leamy, and then a fella called John Hayes stood in the way, and Hayes caught him first, and then Foley came in second, and Trey was absolutely hammered onto the ground, and that's going to be a scrum. The scrum will be to Munster. Paul O'Connell went to take control of the ball. Peter Stringer has lost it. Referee's whistle has gone. It's a penalty for Biarritz. Munster sloppy in the line out there, and a chance here for Biarritz now inside the 22-metre line. Referee has penalised John Hayes for being in an offside position. Penalty for Biarritz, and Biarritz have decided to take the kick at goal. That's a sensible option because that Munster lineout was sloppy.
Yeah, and that's the difficulty again at the lineout. If you don't get a clean catch in the lineout, you put it back Peter Stringer. It's a wet, it's a greasy ball. It poses all kinds of difficulties. The ball is broken down back from the lineout. The forwards are retreating, so they go in from an offside position and they go over the ball, and that's what the referee has penalised them from. But everything for Munster in the line, they've got to get those clean catches, particularly in defensive situations like that. And this has resulted in a 3-point opportunity, only the second one in the match that Yash Fili has had, but it's a good opportunity for him on his good side for his left foot.
Well, he landed the conversion as well, but it's a second penalty attempt at Dimitri Yashvili now with 48 minutes gone in this game. In other words, 8 minutes of play, second half. And Yashvili now with the penalty for Biarritz. Just outside the 22-metre line, 15 metres in from the touchline on this near side of the pitch. And Yashvili now to make this a 7-point game, reduce the gap between the teams. Comes up, hits this one left-footed, and hits it for sure straight between the posts. Dimitri Yashvili is sprinting back towards the halfway line. Back to a 7-point game of rugby.
Yeah, he doesn't miss many of those. A little bit like Ronan O'Gara for Munster. He doesn't miss many of those for Biarritz. He has done it all season long. He has done it for France as well. And that will give them a little bit of spring in the step. You know, it was a pity from a Munster point of view that they just made the mistake and conceded that opportunity, which results in 3 points for Biarritz. But nevertheless, this match is a long way from being over, and it's going to go all the way, I think.
Biarritz have the ball now inside the Munster 10-metre line, far side. Biarritz keep it down low, drive maybe Munster back towards the 22. Munster trying to get the defensive movement going, but Bearings have driven them back now towards the 22 metre line. Yashvili moves it back towards Harinodiki. Harinodiki has the ball, now runs at Hayes, but again he's hauled to the ground by Dennis Leamy. Dennis Leamy is going to be penalised by the match referee for a high tackle. Back at Yashvili. Yashvili tries to get it on the Munster cover, far side now, gets on the sniping run, brought play in towards Donegal Callan. Referee's whistle has gone, and the referee says there was no advantage. The advantage is going to be, and the penalty is for Bearitz outside the 22 metre line, far side of the pitch, because of a high tackle by Dennis Leamy on Emmanuel Harinodiki. That's two simple mistakes Munster have made, and really with a quality kicker like Dimitri Yashvili, that's 6 points they've added to Bearitz.
That's 6 points, and I mean they have upped their game, Bearitz, after Munster had scored that penalty in the second half, and they're playing with a far more momentum in their game. I mean, Harinodiki has come through the centres a number of times, and it's Dennis Leamy has come in, he put the hand around the shoulder, around his neck. It was a dangerous high tackle. He was also coming a little bit from behind. He wasn't a full frontal tackle. He didn't need to make it because Hayes was directly in front of Harinodiki. Hayes would have buried, I would say, Harinodiki, but Dennis just came in from the side and the hand went up. And these are the indisciplines, as you said, you cannot give away to a guy like Yashvili.
Well, Dimitri Yashvili has already landed a penalty. Far Bearitz in the early stages of the second half of this game. Far from over. Here comes the penalty chance. Far Bearitz, midway between the 22 and the 10 metre line. Chris White has already indicated to the two touch judges that they're going to take the kick at goal. And here comes Dimitri Yashvili. Now, well, has he got a kick and tee? He has, in fact, on the third cut of grass just outside the 22 metre line. And it's slightly to the left-hand side of the post, but that will certainly suit Dimitri Yashvili now. With the penalty, Far Bearitz, he's got the kick and tee there. Harinodiki got a bit of a battering there around the jaw from Dennis Leamy. And the penalty now, Far Dimitri Yashvili. And Yashvili takes four paces back. And some of those on a day trip for the day started to sing the fields of Athenryan. That's completely disrespectful to the kicker Far Bearitz. That is Dimitri Yashvili. It certainly won't put him off. He's a quality player. Comes up, hits this one, launches it towards the post, and Yashvili has landed the second penalty of the afternoon, of the second half, and well, Bearitz certainly making all the headway at the moment. 11 minutes gone, second half.
Yeah, the momentum has swung back into Bearitz's favour. If they're given opportunities like that, they will convert them. I mean, it's a really physically absorbing match, playing at a very, very high tempo. And I think the fact that the roof is closed as well adds a couple of extra degrees in terms of the heat that's inside in this arena, and that's going to soak more energy. So if this is going to go all the way, maybe the substitution on the bench is going to be an important factor.
Line out for Bearitz as the fields of Athenry gets another hearing. Inside the 22 metre line, on this near side of the pitch, the shorts have eventually arrived for Harinodiki. French international is called after a Basque painter, a famous Basque painter. What an individual this one is, I'll tell you. Line out now, Far Bearitz inside the 22 on this near side. Benoit Auguste ready to throw the ball into the line-out. 4 points between the teams. 15 minutes gone, second half. Munster leading 20 points to 16. A penalty for Munster, start of the second half. Two penalties from Dimitri Yashvili. Now, Munster rather anxious to get on with this one, but it's a line-out for Benoit Auguste and Bearitz. So Munster need to keep the head for the time being. Auguste goes towards the front. Donegal Callan is there. He's tapped it back towards Jerry Flannery. Munster turned it over. Hit towards Foley. Gathers the ball. He runs at Betts and smashes him into the ground. Munster have it inside the 22. Ball back rather awkwardly outside. Paul O'Connell pops it towards John Kelly now. John Kelly gets it on Harinodiki and Senses Johnson brings play towards the 22 on this near side. Munster without a scrum half. Hayes thought about being the scrum half. They don't need him because Hayes just needed to use the ballast to lift one of the Munster players towards the 22 metre line. Now Munster look to try and take control of that ball. They'll be driven back outside the 22. Now Peter Stringer awaits delivery of that ball outside the 22 metre line. Referee's whistle is gone. It's got to be a scrum. The scrum is to Bearitz. That was solid defence by the French champions.
It was solid defence, but nevertheless Munster were the team in possession and they were in a very good position there. I watched Ronan O'Gara. He took a couple of steps backwards. He dropped back into the pocket, and I'd say a drop goal was in his mind on that occasion. It was just outside the 22, nearly dead centre. Had they gotten the ball, he was sitting in the pocket and the option was there for the drop at goal. It could have been possibly a three-pointer for Munster.
Well, we have played 61 minutes, the second half of this game, and well, it's finally balanced. That's all we can say. Munster leading Bearitz 20 points to 16, and they said it was going to come down to the wire. I have a queer feeling it's going to go down to the wire, and it's really up to whoever wants this the most. Stadium. They've been to the final on two occasions. They've lost the final on two occasions. They want to make a third time lucky. They don't want to lose a third final. Penalty for Biarritz, which has been kicked into touch on this near side of the pitch, and a chance now for the French champions. A line-up for them just inside that Munster.
Yeah, coming to the crucial period of the match, and that Munster 16th man, the supporters are showing their support, and they're really getting behind the team. Some of the players are starting to lag a little bit. Been a real bruising encounter. There hasn't been any substitutions to relieve any of the players. They've got to battle it out. Supporters are trying to get them every bit of encouragement they can.
Benoit Auguste with the line-out for Biarritz on this near side of the pitch. Two full compliments there. I see Federico Pucciarello taking off that tracksuit across on the far side. I didn't take my eye off the game. Thierry Dussetois has it, moves it across now towards Gobelet. Gobelet smashes Ian Darling out of the way, and Biarritz have it now over the 10-metre line. They look to try and take control of that ball in central midfield position. Munster under pressure now as Biarritz come forward now. Yashvili looks to take control of the ball. Yashvili has it now, moves it out towards Betson. Betson lost control of it. Across on the far side, the referee's playing advantage. The advantage is to Munster, and Nicola Bruce is hauled to the touch across on the far side of the pitch. These fellas won't go down without a fight. The smallest man in the pitch is Peter Stringer. He's the fellow with the biggest heart in an afternoon like this.
Just when I was about to make the comment that Biarritz are using that big wiggle John Baptiste Chabalet very effectively. He's coming through. He brushed off Ian Dowling there with a handoff. And Munster nevertheless managed to regroup, get it out. Peter Stringer is the man, splits it up and puts the guy in touch, and a line out for Munster. Excellent, excellent play.
It's vital. Munster clear this ball away. Back at Ronald O'Gara, takes a step forward with that one now, goes to kick it, and O'Gara with that kick, the ball goes into touch on this near side of the pitch, and it's going to be a line out. The line out will be to Biarritz, but they're camped on that Munster 10 metre line. 64 minutes gone, finally balanced game, 4 points between the teams.
Yeah, Biarritz making their surge now. They're trying to get a grip of the game, they're trying to get the next thing, but Munster have been under siege many times before, and they've withstood it, and they have the discipline, and they have the leadership on the pitch to keep a cool head. And if ever you needed a cool head in a cauldron like you have here, now is the time for cool heads and no mistakes and no penalties.
Benoit Auguste with the line out on the Munster 10 metre line. Petru Balan is there, Benoit Lecouls also. Auguste now throws that one in. Harry Nordicke wins it. Yashvili moves it into a central midfield position now towards Aramburu. Moves it across far side. It's an awful looking pass out towards Cirelli Bobo. The ball has gone into touch. Cirelli Bobo, the ball was thrown behind him. And the ball goes into touch. It's going to be a line-out for Munster far side. There's 4 points between the teams. 11 minutes remaining. Munster leading by 20 points to 16. Line-out now. Far side of the pitch. It is Benjamin Nuaro. Fires it in. Olivier Olibou wins the ball for Biarritz far side inside the Munster 10 metre line. Far side of the pitch now. Biarritz like to take control of it. It's referee playing an advantage. Penalty taken by Dimitri Yashvili. Referee's whistle has gone, and Munster have conceded the penalty. And well, the penalty is going to be for Biarritz. Now here's a big decision coming up for Biarritz, isn't there? 11 minutes remaining in the match, and they've already decided. Jerome Thion has said they're going to kick towards the post, and with the quality kicker, as I keep calling him, like Dimitri Yashvili. Well, that's a bread and butter opportunity.
Well, I've no doubt that he would have converted it, like on the kicking form he has shown today. But I mean, they probably recognise they're going to need two, and maybe it's a respect to the Munster defence, but they see 3 points on the board. They've got to score a second time, and that will narrow it to 1 point. But the idea must have crossed their minds to go for the corner, go for the line out, go for the try. There's 5 points, and that would be the winner for them.
Well, there's 10.5 minutes remaining at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff. With 4 points between the teams, Munster leading 20 points to 16. Dimitri Yashvili has already landed 4 kicks out of 4 this afternoon. This is the longest attempt for him, just inside the 10-metre line, 12 metres in from the touchline, across on the far side of the pitch. Dimitri Yashvili coming up now with the kick. Fabio Ritz launches this one towards the post. It's certainly on its way. Yashvili's kick has gone straight between the posts. We said it was going to go down to the wire. It will. It's Munster, but only just 20 points to 19.
Yeah, I mean, tremendous kick by Yashvili. Not just the distance, not just the angle, but the pressure. To kick it in the pressure when it really matters. Now Munster must get back up again. What they've got to do is they've got to produce a score. And they need a score desperately in this half. They've managed the 3 points, but they need more than that.
Well, Mick O'Driscoll is going to come out to the field of play. The referee allows play to restart. O'Gara got the ball in his hand. It looks as if Petru Balan is leaving the field of play. Since it's Johnson coming back on. That's the change that is about to be made. Mick O'Driscoll is leaving the field of play for Munster. And somebody is leaving. It's the team captain, Anthony Foley, in fact. So we have an ironic situation that both team captains have left the field of play. Tomo Livermore for Biarritz Olympic and Anthony Foley, the Munster team captain. That means that Mick O'Driscoll will slot in to the number 8 role. And Ron O'Gara now with the restart, a single point between the teams. 9.5 minutes remaining now. O'Gara with the restart kicks it. The ball is inside the 22, taken by Dimitri Yashvili. Yashvili left footed now, looks to kick that one, is taken by Mick O'Driscoll. Mick O'Driscoll over the own 10 metre line towards the half line. He goes now, puts the head down, does it. O'Driscoll goes forward, that one lets it available here now for Peter Stringer. Peter Stringer gives it back towards John Kelly. I have no idea how John Kelly actually caught that ball. David Wallace riding shotgun there as well, available for Stringer outside the 10 metre line on this near side of the pitch. As Munster drive Biarritz back over the 10 metre line, Paul O'Connell is there back now with David Wallace. David Wallace, broad play over the 10 metre line, could be available for Stringer. Stringer got the ball towards Ron O'Gara, gives it in now towards Dennis Leamy. I thought Biarritz were in an offside position, in a central midfield position. Stringer moves the ball back now towards Sean Payne. Sean Payne comes forward, he runs into Harry Nordicke, comes forward with the ball, looks to take control of that one towards the 10 metre line. Peter Stringer is there, he's O'Gara standing behind him. O'Gara has it now, kicks that ball, it bounces, it's going to go towards the touchline, back with Yashvili. Yashvili gathers that ball now inside the 22, kicks that one, and the ball goes into touch on this near side of the pitch, and it's going to be a line out. The line will be for Munster, just a couple of paces inside the Biarritz 10 metre line.
Yeah, again, good territory position for Munster, good possession for Munster, but they've been unable to break the game, break the line here. The line breakers in Munster in the second half have been few and far between, and that's been their difficulty, and that's why Ronan O'Gara in that situation had to kick to try and get it in behind the defensive line of Biarritz.
Mick O'Driscoll has won the ball at the tail of the line out. Here comes Paul O'Connell, took the pass there from Mick O'Driscoll. It's available here now for Munster. They try and drive Biarritz now back towards the 22 metre line. Peter Stringer is there, O'Connell as well. Peter Stringer now looks to get a safe pair of hands on this ball, moves it back towards O'Gara. O'Gara has it now, pops it across far side towards Trevor Halstead. Trevor Halstead trying to bring play towards the 22, far side of the pitch. Munster inside there. Biarritz have been penalised by the match referee. It's a penalty. The penalty is to Munster. I can't believe Peter Stringer was going to take that one pretty quickly. Somebody threw a shout out and said, "Would you chill out a minute, me boss?" And it's going to be a penalty. The penalty for Munster, midway between the 22 and the 10 metre line, across on the far side of the pitch. Senses Johnson is the man who's given away the penalty. And the penalty is for Munster, across on the far side of the pitch. The ball is with Ronan O'Gara. I thought for a second he was going to kick it into touch.
No decision there, Michael. No decision there. I think that straight away that was the decision that was made. You know, in hindsight, it must have been a difficult decision for Declan Kidney and Gerry Holland to pull Anthony Foley. You know, Mick O'Driscoll was the right guy to bring on because he's freshness, he's playing very, very well. But who do you take off from this kind of outstanding back five by Munster? But it's difficult to pull the captain. But these are the hard cold calls you got to make. You got to win the match and you got to go for what's best for the team.
Here comes Ronan O'Gara. Will he do what's best for the team? Penalty for Munster now, midway between the 22 and the 10-metre line. On that far side of the pitch, he's 15 metres in from the touchline. Ronan O'Gara now with the kick for Munster, with a single point between the teams. O'Gara comes up to try and extend that lead. Hits it on its way. It's on its way. It's over. Munster have extended the lead. 6.5 minutes remaining. Munster leading 23 points tonight.
Well, there have been many kickers on many teams that have tried to outkick Ronan O'Gara. And Yashvili, the last time, kicked a tremendous kick to put his side within 1 point. But Ronan O'Gara, as ever, stepped up to the mark. And bang, difficult wrong side, difficult conversion. But bang between the posts, and 4 points and 6 minutes to go.
Replacing number five.
And here we see the other substitute coming in, Alan Quinlan. It's been a while since we've seen him in a Munster shirt, Michael.
Alan Quinlan onto the field of play for Paul O'Connell. Paul O'Connell, well, Alan Quinlan rather, on now. And a chance here now for Biarritz as Nicola Brusque attacks Munster far side of the pitch. Stringer tackled him into touch. He was like more a speed bump more than anything else. Got in the way and he's gone into touch. It's going to be a line-out. The line-out to Munster now. Midway between the halfway line and the 10-metre line, far side, Alan Quinlan did his shoulder in against Sale in the first game of the competition, and he's onto the field of play. It's going to be a line-out far side. Chance here now for Munster. Anxious faces all round the stadium. 4 minutes remaining. Munster leading 23 points to 19. Mick O'Driscoll has won the ball in the line-out. Peter Stringer there looks to try and take control of that one. Biarritz, to their credit, have it. Well, they haven't, but they shunted Munster backwards. Munster now, however, on the counter-attack, bring play towards the halfway line. Peter Stringer is there. Munster decided to keep this one tight now. David Wallace is inside there, tackling with Senses Johnson. Munster bring play over the halfway line, across on the far side of the pitch. Donegal O'Callaghan and company now down low. They don't care if they need to stick this ball up their shirt or otherwise. Munster have lost control of the ball. Beirut's now with, I would say, the final throw of the dice, but they're well capable of doing something. Pirralong has it now. Back towards Martino Rambaru. Kicks that ball away, I thought. Chance here now for Anthony Horgan. Anthony Horgan gathers the ball. Goes on the counter-attack now. He's tackled to the ground outside his own 10-metre line far side. Munster desperately need to get this ball. Back at Peter Stringer. Moves it towards O'Gara. O'Gara had half a dozen fellas on one side of him. Kicks the ball. It goes towards that touch taken by Nicola Brusque. Nicola Brusque has it now. Comes forward with this one towards his own 10-metre line. Goes up in the air. Kicks that ball. Now on the counter-attack goes Anthony Horgan. Takes the ball for Munster now, brings it infield as the Munster playing along on the ground, down to 14 men at this moment in time. Peter Stringer gives it back towards O'Gara. O'Gara pops it out now towards Trevor Halsall. He's lost control of the ball in his central midfield position. All of that because O'Gara decided to kick the ball rather than pass it. The referee's whistle is gone. It's going to be a scrum. The scrum is going to be to Biarritz, midway between the 22 and the 10 metre line. Yeah, nervous moments
again. Going on the open side is not paying dividends for Munster, and that's they had played Maulden up on the blind side very, very well in the last number of minutes. They must know they're counting down the clock. I mean, Biarritz are giving an excellent attacking opportunity here. It's just outside the, between the 22 and the 10 metre line, but it's dead centre, and they have a talented back line. We may not have seen the best of this Biarritz back line in this match, but this gives them an opportunity. One last throw of the dice for Biarritz, one last throw to use the expertise and all the talent they have in that back line. And can Munster defend that? Well, I think their supporters are saying you can. You can hear them.
Anthony Horgan has a bit of a cramp in his leg, and Christy Peacock is out there working wonders. O'Gara is delivering a lecture to the players. The supporters are playing their part as well. 77 minutes, 35 seconds gone. 2 minutes and 25 seconds remaining. 4 points between the teams. Munster leading 23 points to 19. It's going to be a scrum. The scrum is going to be to Biarritz inside the Munster 10-metre line. A good attacking position. Yashvili goes around towards the feet of Harry Nordicke. Gathers the ball. Gives it out towards Yashvili. Moves across on that far side of the pitch towards Nicola Brusque. Munster thin in numbers, but they get the drift defence going far side of the pitch now. Biarritz look to take control of the ball. Outside the 22-metre line, across on that far side. Back now. The ball was out. I thought, yes, it was. The referee said it was. Who puts his body on the line? Peter Stringer put his body on the line. Went in like a terrier. Snapple at the ball. It's gone into touches the lineup for Biarritz, but it's outside that Munster 10-metre line.
Yeah, that was tremendous play by Munster defence, because they know, and Biarritz know, that Biarritz must score a try. A penalty is no good, a drop goal is no good, and they have no time to come back here a second time or in that territory a second time. They've got to score a try, they've got to manufacture it, but they're waiting too long, and Munster are putting the pressure on. This is the real Munster game.
Here comes Olivier Noiré, or Benjamin Noiré, with the line out far side of the pitch, midway between the halfway line and the 10-metre line. A minute and a half, the longest minute and a half of our lives. It's Munster lead 23 points to 19. Noah Reid throws it in. Munster tried to disrupt his back on towards Olivier Alibou, towards Jerome Thion. Jerome Thion halted the ground midway between the halfway line and the 10-metre line. Referee's whistle has gone. It's going to be a scrum. The scrum is going to be to Biarritz, midway between the halfway line and the 10-metre line.
Yeah, penalties are still crucial in terms of penalties are still crucial in terms of Munster don't give away penalties, because that means they can kick, Pirralong can kick, or Bruce can kick, or Yashvili can kick into the corners, set up a line-out for Biarritz, and Munster are very, very mindful of that, not to give away penalties. They've got to trust their defence, let Biarritz have the ball and trust their defence. Their defence equally has not been breached in the second half either of this match, and they should go and just let Biarritz have the ball.
Well, Federico Pucciarello is a bit of a problem with one of his fetlocks. He's a tough cookie, as this Argentinian-born Italian international. We have a minute and 10 seconds remaining. Munster leading 23 points to 19. So near, so far on previous occasions. Is this going to be third time lucky for Munster? People spoke about destiny. No such thing as destiny. You make your own luck. All of the old cliches come back. A chance here now for Biarritz with the scrum, midway between the halfway line and the 10-metre line. 17 metres in from the touchline, across on the far side. Munster leading by 23 points to 19. 4 points between the teams. With support like this, how could you not play your heart out this afternoon? Dmitry Yashvili now with the scrum for Biarritz. He's around at the feet of Harry Nordicke to gather that one. They're all lined up inside him. Back now on Martino Rambaru. Pops it back now. Chance here now for Biarritz to get through the Munster cover. They do. Towards Nicola Brusque. Broad play inside the 22. Munster desperately need to get this ball back. But Biarritz have it now inside the 22-metre line. They need to defend this near side of the pitch. Chance here now for the French champions with 50 seconds remaining. Are Munster going to be denied? Literally at the death. Jerome Thion throws him. I'm out of the way. Chance here now as Biarritz trying to come forward with this ball. It's Olivier Alibou now inside the 22. Stout defence being called for. Munster have to defend. defend it now on this near side of the pitch. Ball is moved back now. Chance here now. I say Nuaro or Benlalo Cools brings play inside the 22. It's available here now for Dimitri Yashvili. Yashvili looks to take control of the ball now. Sweeps it out now. It's taken now by Cirelli Bobo on this near side. The referee's whistle is gone. Accidental offside. Accidental, how are you? Inside the 22 metre line. It's going to be a scrum. The scrum to Munster. Has the chance been gone? 15 seconds. It'll be the longest 15 seconds of the 43 years I spent on this earth, I'll tell you. It's going to be a scrum. The scrum is going to be the Munster. Inside the 22 metre line on this near side of the pitch. We've played the 80 minutes. 4 points between the teams. Munster leading 23 points to 19. Peter Stringer feeds the ball in. Leamy of Cashel tries to protect the ball. It's going to be a scrum. Scrum to Munster. We are in injury time. Upon the injury time. Scrum here. I didn't hear how much time is remaining. Peter Stringer is there. Looks to take control of that ball now. Munster under pressure. Referee's whistle is gone. Barrett's penalised for coming in the wrong side. Leamy deciding to try and take it quickly. He's got it, Stringer. He's kicked it into touch. The dream has become a reality. Munster are the champions of Europe. Stringer has thumped the ball into touch. It's all over. Cue the celebrations. It's been a long time coming. An odyssey. A dream that started 10.5 years ago. When you dream for a while, sometimes they come true. Munster hearts have been broken on two occasions in the past. But by God Almighty, their hearts weren't going to be broken this afternoon. Munster have pumped the ball into touch. I have pleasure to say Munster are the champions of Europe. Nobody will begrudge them. Nobody will absolutely begrudge what Munster have done for this Heineken Cup competition. The referee has blown the full-time whistle. Munster are the champions of Europe. They've beaten Biarritz 23 points to 19.
Unbelievable. I mean, the reaction here has been superb. It's 11 years on the run, three finals. The last moment, Biarritz were attacking. They were 5 yards out. Everybody's hearts were in their mouth, but they hung in there. The character was there. They were under pressure for huge moments in the second half. But again, I think their bench played a huge part. Mick O'Driscoll came on and was superb. Alan Quinlan, I'm thrilled for him in the end after his injury problems. It's just fantastic to be a Munster man today.
Wow. It's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming, certainly, for Munster. And now, the moment that every Munster man, woman and child have cherished. And a chance here now for them to relive and capture the moment that they've waited so long for. Marcus Horan is the first man towards the presentation area. The Heineken Cup will be presented for the 11th time by the chairman of the ERC, Jean-Pierre Lux, the dentist from Dax in France. Marcus Horan is the first Munster man to put a winner's medal of the Heineken Cup around his neck. And I tell you, Horan is reliving the moment. Hayes walks forward as well. Jean-Pierre Lux is there too. I tell you, Jean-Pierre did well to get out of the way. It's David Wallace now. His try against Northampton a couple of years ago. We thought it was good enough. It wasn't at the time. Here comes John Kelly. John Kelly's the next man forward. John Kelly with that gold medal around his neck. Federico Pucciarello from Rosario, Argentina, kisses the medal as Jean-Pierre Lux hands a medal and a winner's medal to Donico O'Callaghan. Jerry Flannery, good Lord, will there be a pint to be had in his pub for the next fortnight or so? Mick O'Driscoll came back and rejoined Munster after a sojourn in Perpignan. Anthony Horgan is there as well. Came in from the cold when he was left out by Ireland. Sean Payne, well, he said to me, 8 members of his family came from South Africa. He had a shaky enough start to the first half of the game, but he made up for it in the second half. Dennis Leamy is next up. Dennis Leamy, the Rock of Cashel, as they call him. Alan Quinlan came back from a serious shoulder operation. Alan Quinlan is there. He's played his part. Trevor Halstead, what a signing for Munster. As Halstead takes the winner's medal, punches the air with delight. He's absolutely thrilled with that one. The moment that every Munster person is waiting for is coming pretty soon. Paul O'Connell takes the medal. Here comes Ron O'Gara, the leading point scorer in Heineken Cup history. The try scorer from the match as well. The Ferrier, the little small fella, Peter Stringer, he gets a bit of a special pat on the side of the head from Jean-Pierre Lux. Stephen Coe and company as well. It's Dennis Fogarty comes forward with that now, and Dennis Fogarty with Jeremy Manning. Jeremy Manning, only 20 years of age, an out-half, who'll be eligible to play for Ireland towards the start of next season. Tomás O'Leary, son of Shawnee. Here comes Rob Henderson. What an incredible career Rob Henderson has had, and he gives him a bit of a tap on the side of the head. And now, pray silence, I'll tell you, because he's making it look as if he's going to enjoy this one. Foley, the son of Brendan, who was on the team when Munster beat the All Blacks in 1978, walks forward. Foley has been waiting a long time. Derek McGrath, the chief executive of the ERC, is there as well. Michel Carvalho, a member of the Heineken Supervisory Board, and the dentist from Dax is standing there too, as Foley somehow displays the patience of Job. Michel Carvalho and the dentist from Dax come forward. They hand it over. Foley lifts it. Foley has lifted the trophy. Munster are finally crowned champions of Europe. The place has gone mad. I'm amazed the roof is still in the place. And the Munster players, to a man, are jumping up and down in the centre of the field. You could use all the cliches you want. It was third time lucky. But in the last few weeks, Munster have spoken about the pain, the hurt and the fear of being rejected and losing a third final. No Munster man was going to come off the field to play today without winning the Heineken Cup. Munster are the champions of Europe. Munster have beaten Beerix in the final of the 11th Heineken Cup. And Anthony Foley has lifted the trophy aloft, and few people will begrudge it.
Just after the final whistle blew, like we've done it, you know, we've achieved one of our goals, you know, and it's been a long time coming, you know. You see us out there and you look into the stands and you see 60,000 red jerseys, flags, everything floating around. And at one stage during the game, they flashed up O'Connell Street in Limerick. It was mad, and there was no way we were going to lose. Personal level, to have that crowd follow us, obviously they see something in us that inspires them to keep year after year forking out hard-earned cash to follow us around Europe, and for us to, you know, give them the moment that is today to cherish, you know. And, you know, next week will be brilliant, you know, and it's important that, you know, we enjoy it, because it's something that every sportsman wants, you know. It's a trophy, a big trophy, and we have it now. And our next thing now is, after the next week is over, is, have we the ability to retain it? And have we got the ambition to retain it? But the hard work still needs to be done. And if we can go about it next pre-season the same way as we've gone about the last 5-6 pre-seasons and keep building, you know, teams will try and catch us. We're now the best team in Europe. It's great to say, but come next season, everybody will be after us. It'll be their big game. It'll be the game they'll be looking out for, Munster and Thomond Park, or Munster in their own patch. So we have to prepare for that and make sure we, you know, obviously we'll strengthen our squad, and obviously we'll try and better what we did this year. At times, I reckon the captain of this side, all you need to do is call up for the toss, you know. There's so many lads that, you know, step up, and, you know, you've Paulie, you've Marcus, you've John Kelly, Rod Strings, you know, Sean Payne, all great leaders in their own right, you know. And it's just super to be here. It's, you know, we've suffered couple of big losses, you know. Northampton comes to mind, Leicester comes to mind, Toulouse a few years back, you know. Today makes up for all that, and it's just having that feeling now in our stomachs and our hearts, you know, that we're champions. And, you know, and if we can better this now, it would be great. And I think our ambition, and the ambition that we have in the squad, we need to go after more, you know. We want to win more trophies. Toulouse have 3, I think Leicester have 3, Watts have 2. You know, we've won now, so we need to move on. We need to be aiming high and see where we end up.